everyone.
Good evening.
Tonight we are in Joshua, chapter 13. So it is a small, short message tonight for a small, short crowd. So just this Sunday, the Lord knows exactly how to humble you. I had a couple people come up to me and say, "Wow, you do your messages without any notes." And I said, "Well, most of the time I do, but not all the time. I look forward to the day when I can always do that." I said, "But I try to know my material well enough that I don't need notes. Tonight I need notes." So that was the Lord humbling me. But we are in Joshua 13. And I will start to read. We have a lot of reading tonight. Long reading, short message. So starting in verse 1. "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron, it is counted as Canaanite. There are 5 rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of the Avim, in the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Merah, that belongs to the Sidonians, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Gebelites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise from Baalgad, below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to Misrephoth Maam, even all the Sidonians. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland of Medeba as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the boundary of the Ammonites, and Gilead, and the region of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, and Salakah, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth, and in Edrei, he alone was left of the remnant of Rephaim. These Moses had struck and driven out, yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but Geshur and Maacath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. To the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to him. And Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the people of Reuben according to their clans. So their territory was from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland by Medeba, with Heshbon and all its cities that are in the tableland, Dibon and Ramoth Baal and Beth Baal Meon and Jahaz and Kedemoth and Mephath and Kiriathim and Sibmah and Zereth Shahar on the hill of the valley, and Beth Peor and the slopes of Pisgah and Beth Jeshimoth, that is all the cities of the tableland, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses defeated with the leaders of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zer, and Hur, and Reba, the princes of Sihon, who lived in the land. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the one who practiced divination, was killed with the sword by the people of Israel among the rest of their slain. And the border of the people of Reuben was the Jordan as a boundary. This was the inheritance of the people of Reuben, according to the clans, with their cities and villages. Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribe of Gad, to the people of Gad, according to their clans. Their territory was Jazer and all the cities of Gilead and half the land of the Ammonites to Aroer, which is east of Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramoth Mizpah and Bedanim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir. And in the valley of Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Sukkoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, having the Jordan as a boundary to the lower end of the sea of Chinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the people of Gad according to their clans with their cities and villages. And Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half-tribe of the people of Manasseh according to their clans. Their region extended from Mahanaim through all Bashan, the whole kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for the half of the people of Machir, according to their clans. These are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as he said to them. Whew. We made it. Those are a lot of city names to say. So let's just open up in a word of prayer before we dig in. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for this section of Scripture and what you have in store for us. And I know there's so much more here than what I could even pull out of it, because that is the way your word is. It is so deep and so rich. But yet we ask you to guide us through what you had me prepare and lead us in a way that it will edify the saints tonight. And it'll build us up and be an encouragement to all of us. And Father, we ask for that blessing, but we also tonight just ask for comfort for the Botter family. We just think of what they're going through tonight. What other type of family could we be a part of than to celebrate the loss of a loved one, knowing that they're in the presence of their Lord and Savior, Jesus? What comfort. We just pray that you comfort the family and allow us, help us to be a comfort to them as we go through these next few days. Help us to support them. Give us that guidance, Father, so that we all lift each other up during this time. And Father, we just pray once again that your hand be upon tonight. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a couple of things I have to kind of state before we even get started. One is, there's a couple of things I'm not going to talk about tonight. How's that for interesting? One of them is, I'm not really going to spend a lot of time describing and talking about what it says here, to the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. And you say, well, John, it says that a couple of times. The reason I'm not is because there's such richness there to what's going on, and it's going to get talked about a few different times over the next few chapters, in particularly when the inheritance specifically is given to the tribe of Levi. And there's so much there, we'll leave it for that night. I think why it's here and why it's twice here is because specifically what happens, if you notice when we were reading, in the very beginning, the Lord gives the inheritance. He tells Joshua to give the inheritance to 9 tribes and a half a tribe. And the reason is this is going to start the giving out of the inheritance. The next half of Joshua, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about, is the giving out of the inheritance to the tribes. Very specific boundaries, very specific reasons. But then after he talks about Joshua giving the inheritance to the 9 and a half tribes, there's the 2 and a half tribes we then go talk about that God doesn't mention. And the reason is he has to clarify that it was already given to these 2 and a half tribes. And we're going to go back and look at that. So to come full circle around to why I'm not talking about Levi tonight, but why it's mentioned twice, is you can't start talking about the inheritance and sit there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and then go, well, what happened to the tribe of Levi? So there's a clarification as to why he goes through the number of tribes and then talks about Levi. So you know where to put Levi in your mind as Levi gets no land. But I'm gonna leave that at that and let the whole discussion of Levi happen later on. So let's dig into right in the beginning here. I basically pulled 3 things out of tonight's chapter that I thought were important for me to discuss with you. And the first thing is really right in the beginning. In verse 1, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, or yours might say stricken in years. old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. Now Joshua is supposedly, by all calculations, and we can't get it exact, but somewhere, definitely over 80 years, but most likely around 90 to 95 years old. That's pretty old. That's pretty old even by standards back then. But what's interesting about Joshua is his entire life he served the Lord. Always served the Lord. And this little scene here, we have to look at more to it than just God and Joshua reminiscing about everything that happened. The first 12 chapters were really about the battle, entering the land and the battles and the conquering and the cleaning out of the enemies. And now the second 12 chapters is really going to be about them being in the promised land and gaining their inheritance and the promise that God promised them, this land. So this isn't some nice little thing. Wow, Joshua, you're advanced in years. Let's talk about everything that we did together. That's not what this is. And we need to see exactly what it is. This is God-given direction to Joshua. Listen to this. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. Thanks, Lord. Isn't that something? You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. The Lord has an expectation for Joshua to continue in his work. There is no, you're old and advanced in years. Let's look back and see all the work we did. Let's take it easy right now. Now, granted, the Lord changed what his ministry would be. It went from fighting battles to giving out an inheritance. So there's a definite change. But there's no cutoff of responsibility. There is work to be done, and he wants Joshua to be about that work. We're entering, when you look at it, they're always, and we see this right to today, the way the gospel message is given. We all know that God does all the work, but yet we have a responsibility in that work. And we're going to see that a little bit further down when he says, I will drive them out of the land before you. God will do all the work, but we have a responsibility with the work that he's doing. And that's the way everything is set up. He puts a responsibility before Joshua. He doesn't let him off the hook and say, now it's time for you to rest. So it lets you ask this question. And it's an important question to ask. And I have a few people out there that maybe are taking this right on the edge of their seat. There's a few of us that are a little older than me out there, right? The few of us that have served the Lord our entire lives for a long period of time. But the idea is, you have to ask this question. Does old age stop me from serving the Lord? And I think we all know the answer to that. It's a resounding no. It's an absolute no. You can cut it right down to a real bottom line. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. So when you get old, do you lose your salvation? No. So guess what? You become an old servant. But you're still saved to serve.
Seasoned.
What's that?
Seasoned.
Seasoned.
Seasoned. Seasoned. Yeah. Very seasoned, right? Old. Joshua. Joshua was old, but he wasn't exempt from serving. And the Lord had expectations of him. And the other thing, and this is maybe me just seeing a little bit of humor in it, you know, just the fact that it narrates to us that Joshua is old and advanced in years, and then the Lord comes out and says, Joshua, you're old and advanced in years. And it just, like, every time I read that, it just struck me as funny, but I kept thinking, like, why would the Lord take that opportunity to tell him he's old and advanced in years. What is that about? And other than getting me to chuckle at it, I think the biggest thing is he's trying to tell Joshua about his own mortality. You are nothing but a mere mortal man. And you are advanced in years. And I expect you to be about the work. And it's almost like he's saying, you know what? You're right near the end. Don't quit on me now. Don't quit on me. Keep working. We should work until the day he takes us home. That's what he's looking for. It's almost like right at the end there, we should be looking at it as, now that my time is shorter, I'm going to work even harder. I want to get more in for the Lord, for everything he's done for me. Now that I can see the end, let me do more. And I don't know, I would tend to think, because of learning who Joshua is very intimately, that was probably his idea. I don't think Joshua was quitting on anybody, but I think it was important to the Lord to show that to him as an encouragement to make sure he didn't shut down on him. There's still work to be done. There remains yet very much land to possess. The job's not over. The work isn't finished. So I want to go down a little bit and dig into another quick point here of my few points tonight. It says, I myself will drive them out before the people of Israel. And this just goes back to what I was talking about earlier. There's a responsibility that we have when we belong to the Lord. And that responsibility is many, many different things that are put before us. One of them for us every day as believers, or as a believer, is to spread the gospel message and to tell everybody we know about that message. And we leave it in God's hands to save who he decides to save. But yet our responsibility is to tell it to everybody, right? We don't worry about who the elect is. We allow that to be in God's hands. But we have a responsibility, and he goes through us. And I think that's the same thing here. I myself will drive them out before the people of Israel. And what happens, and it's so important for us to know this. The idea behind the responsibility of going out, and do you have so many thoughts in my head right now. Do you imagine how defeated we would feel if it had everything to do with us preaching the gospel message? That's why it has nothing to do with us. All he wants us to do is bring the gospel message. Preach the gospel message to everybody we see. Tell them about it. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be so defeating to us if it had to do with how good I did that. And all he wants here with Israel is for them to understand that all the important work of them leaving the land, you possessing the land and letting me chase them out, is just do your responsibility. When you go into your territory, when you go into your inheritance, do what I've asked you to do. I'll make sure they leave, but you do the chasing. You push them out. And most of that pushing out has to do with what we see in verse 13. It says, yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but Geshur and Maacath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. Why? Because they were too focused on worldly things. They were too focused on trying to be nice. They were too focused on things that weren't of God. And they needed to be about God's response, the responsibility before God, so that he would do the work of driving them out. So we see a little bit of disobedience there. But let's go on to the next verse. And that's, the second half of that verse. The first half is, I myself will drive them out before the people of Israel. The second half is, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. See, the Lord will allot to his people as he sees fit. And there's a reason for that. Man cannot do this. And I don't just mean it in Old Testament times. If you want to have a problem within a family, Have an inheritance of land be given to a family with multiple kids, and watch that family deteriorate, trying to separate that land of who gets what, who deserves what. Every single person has an idea of what they deserve, and it never meshes with the other person. For some reason, it's something to do with our human nature. We cannot divvy things up amongst ourselves. I come out of a family with seven kids. About 3 years ago, I think it's about 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, my dad passed away back in 96. My mom is still living, and my mom decided she didn't want to live in her old antique house anymore. It's on the Register of Historic Places for the state, and it's a beautiful little residence, and she decided it was too much for her. It was time to move into an apartment. And it turned into this, you know, she wanted everybody to come in and grab what they want. And I got the email from my sister who was overseeing it and said, John, what do you want for mom's house? And I said, nothing. Mom gave me everything in life I'd ever want from her. I don't need anything physically from her. I don't need that. And they said, well, we have a few things. I said, well, if there's something important to mom that she'd like me to have, I absolutely will receive that. But I just didn't want to be in the middle of that. And my brothers and sisters handled it pretty well, but it was like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to enter in because we're so poor at it. And that's why it's so important here in this section when we look at this, that Joshua didn't allot the land, that the Lord allotted the land. It was important that they didn't have a meeting where they brought all the tribes together and say, what would you like? It was God to do this. It was for him to put them exactly where he wanted it. I want to read you a couple of things I wrote down here, and then I'm going to take you somewhere in the New Testament, because I think right after I begin reading them, you're going to know where I'm going to go. But each one of these tribes will have a full inheritance. Each tribe will be given land, but the size and location will be determined by God. Each one will be given an area perfect for their tribe, yet distinct from the other tribes. Each tribe will be in the same promised land, yet have their own set of opportunities and difficulties before them. Now I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just wanted, this just opened up to me, and I just thought it was a really neat picture of the way this inheritance, and this is kind of setting up the inheritance over the next number of chapters, that you can keep this in mind. But chapter 12, starting in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, and according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. What a neat picture. That's what we have going on in the tribes of Israel. We have God deciding for the people exactly what they need. It's just an unbelievable picture to see that before us. See, because if they decided for themselves, their decision would be on what they thought fit them best. And yet, who knows what's best for you better than what God knows? Mm-hmm. And that's why when it comes to, and the correlation with the spiritual gifts, is every one of us is given an inheritance. Every one of us is indwelt with the Spirit. We're given the manifestation of the Spirit. And in that, we are given certain gifts. As a part of this fellowship, we are to exercise certain gifts. And they're the gifts that God has given us. Not what we desire to do, not what we think we're good at, But it's the gift that God has given you. And I said this once before with the young kids when we were up doing, help me out, Max, the retreat. That was the word I was looking for. And teaching them up there. One of the things I encourage them to do is when you get back, see if you could sit down with the elders and ask them how you could be plugged in. Ask them to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Because that's what you want to be exercising. Yeah, there's lots of things we can help with and chip in and give a hand to. We should all be doing that to each other's ministries and gifts and supporting each other. But what is your gift? What is it that God has decided for you? That's what we want to find out. And we're going to break something out a little bit right at the end. My last point about not allowing that to happen and deciding for yourself and the problems that that causes. But God has allotted each tribe as he wills. The one thing that came to my mind with that, and it should also come to our minds with spiritual gifts. And I'm not trying to really do this super correlation between the two, but it's just amazing, you know, how they correlate to each other. But when you look at this, this should give every one of the Israelites great confidence that they are exactly where they're supposed to be because God has allotted them that land. What confidence that is. How amazing is that? That they could sit back and be kind of just rest in it and be content in it, that God, who's sovereign and wise, has decided that this is what's for me. I don't know if there's anything better than that. And there's a little picture there of that's why we want to be exercising our spiritual gifts. Because when you're doing it, you can have great confidence that God has decided this for me. That I'm in his will, in his divine plans to exercise my gifts the way he wants to in this place at Grace Gospel. When we are in that position, we know that it was a very particular thing that God decided for his people. We know whether it be the land that he gave them, it was very particular for them. We know whether it's our gift, it was very particular for us. We know that what he gave them was plentiful. It was more than anything they ever needed. They weren't going to be in need of anything. They may have a lot of wants, just like we do. We walk around every day with way too many wants. But we have everything we need. Everything. To the point where we're given more and given abundantly more than what we need. We also know that it was perfect. That what God gave them was perfect. There wasn't a mistake made in the inheritance that he gave them. I just, as I went through this, I was just loving the correlation with our spiritual gifts. What they inherited was divinely given. What a place to be. The last point that I wanted to bring up was something that's not such a fun topic. And it's about the 2.5 tribes that I've been assigned to talk about tonight in the inheritance. And you have to ask yourself, when it took me a while to ask myself this, because I kept reading it and thinking, what's going on here? And I noticed that it said earlier in 6 and 7, it said that God would allot the land. And then in verse 8, it said, with the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, and the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them. So that took me back to Numbers 32. And I want to, if you join me in Numbers 32, I'm going to read a little bit with that, and then I'll finish up with a few thoughts. Numbers chapter 32. Now the people of Reuben and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. And they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, and behold, the place was a place for livestock. So the people of Gad and the people of Reuben came and said to Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and to the chiefs of the congregation, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eliah, Sabon, Nebo, and Beon, the land that the Lord struck down before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for possession. Do not take us across the Jordan. But Moses said to the people of Gad and to the people of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you sit here? Why will you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over into the land that the Lord has given them? So then down in verse 16, then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones, but we will take up arms and ready to go before the people of Israel until we have brought them to their place. And our little ones shall live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until each of the people of Israel has gained its inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has come to us on this side of the Jordan to the east. So Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will take up arms to go before the Lord for war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then after that you shall return and be free of obligation to the Lord and to Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So then, down in verse 33, and Moses gave to them, to the people of Gad, and to the people of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites. Basically, he's given him the land there. And it goes through the whole description of that. And I'm reading through this as I go back to that, and I start asking myself, you know, is this a mistake? And I'm not asking, is this a mistake in Scripture? I'm asking, was this a mistake of the tribe of Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh? And that question kept ringing out. And the more I looked at this, and the more you look through history of what goes on with those the 2.5 tribes, you start thinking, I'm not so sure this is what the Lord desires. God has bestowed upon his people a promised land, and they want something else. There's a divine mark that's set before them, and that's entering the promised land, and they stop short. They, in a sense, what just happened is they allowed worldly lusts to sway their decision of what they should do. No consideration for the will of God. Only their own interests. Grass for their cows to chew on. It sounds so absurd that they would choose livestock and cattle over God. Do you see that that's all that's happening around us every day in the world? They're choosing a football game over God. They're choosing an automobile over God. They're choosing work and making money over God. They're choosing bigger houses over God. It sounds so absurd when you look at it that way. When we look at the tribes and we say they only took their own worldly interests into play. It's about cattle. It's about good pasture. And they've given up what the will of God is and his divine plans for them to go into the inheritance, to go into the promised land. Oh, if their focus was solely on God's will, they wouldn't have even thought about that. And that's a little bit of a lesson for us. Stay focused on the will of God, because it'll keep you from being swayed away by all the worldly lusts around you. just to finish up on this one thought, because it's probably the saddest thing I thought of when I was reading through this, and maybe you caught it as I was reading, that this is absolutely the worst part of what they just did in choosing cattle and pasture land over the will of God. When you behave that way, especially the men who are the spiritual leaders, they leave their loved ones behind. Look at the effect on the loved ones. You see, you remember what they said? They would build sheepfolds and fortified cities for them to stay back in while they went into the promised land to fight with the rest of the Israelites to gain their inheritance. So not only did they not care about the promised land and the divine plan of God to bring them in there, but their poor loved ones got left behind. Their poor loved ones fell short of the divine mark, were left out of the inheritance, were left out of the promised land. That's why it's so important for us as men, as spiritual leaders, to keep our focus on the will of God, keep our focus on the inheritance, keep our focus for our loved ones so that they too can get and achieve that inheritance, to make it into the promised land. Oh, they deprived them of all the promises, of all their inheritance. It's a sad picture. You know, eventually later on, we see them build an altar, and they come out and confront them for building an altar. Now, their heart was right. Their heart was right. They built that altar because they were worried about their other kids falling away from God and not knowing who he was. Well, the altar wasn't going to solve the problem. It was because they had worldly lusts and forgot to continue to do what they needed to do before the Lord. And then eventually, I think it's in 2 Kings, these are the first tribes that get taken over and decimated. So I think when you ask that question, was this a mistake? I think it is. I think it is. They took their eye off of the will of God. Whew. We should always be aware of falling short of the proper position that God has for us. What a horrible spot for them to be. Sorry to end on such a bad note tonight, but yet an important lesson for us to learn and to see in God's word. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for what you had in store for us and what you showed us tonight in your word. We're grateful for it. We're grateful for the lessons that we glean from your word. It is so rich and so powerful and so much fun to read. We just thank you. Thank you for all of it that you give to us and all that we get from it. It truly is a blessing. And tonight we especially thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. and that he came to save us and that we have our inheritance with you, all locked up and sure because of the work that he did on that cross. Mm-hmm. Father, we are just so grateful tonight for that. We thank you for this time tonight. We thank you for the blessing of this time. We ask you to give us traveling mercies as we head out of here. And we just continue to think of the Botter family and just pray once again that you comfort them and support them through the next few days and allow us to do whatever we can to help them. And we just pray this blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.